sudden the room news would be a buzz and everybody would be all excited and frantic and you're like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, we have a 12 alarm fire and 50 people are dead. You're like, oh God, why are you so excited? Yeah.
Showtime.
Only the person that's dead, of course, in this case is Pablo. There he is.
RIP. Do we want him to rest in peace? Oh, he's not dead.
No, he's still there.
Rest in process.
Why do you have your hands? Why do you have your hands crossed like you're a vampire?
I think
here's the thing: you're not a vampire because vampires never die. We all know that the Sixers. That's not true.
Rest.
What do you want?
James Harden. Oh
my God! Whoa.
This is Corey.
This is.
They this pulled is the okie doke.
This is wrong.
You got
that ain't right. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Over Jimmy Butler. I thought you were dead. You need to shut up for a second. You
oh, you can hear me. Great.
That Max Strus was just a handsome distraction and nope. Not the defensive wizard. Woo! And box plus minus.
Sharpshooter.
That he is.
CWS shooting guard. Go back
you
to high school
M.
musical
Night
Max
Shyamalan
Strus.
As your celebrity fan over DJ Khaled and the shiny dress lady.
Oh.
You
Signs
thought,
is a good movie.
Box
Signs
Mike,
is a very good
you
movie.
You thought that the whole Harden strip club bit was going to get you over the pain of losing in the second round again.
Again.
I'm sorry, Pablo S. Torre. I don't know what the S stands for, but I'm pretty sure it rhymes with witty.
Sorry.
You, sir, chose the wrong team. Just going to have to admit it. I'm sorry. For eternity, you will spend the rest of your life regretting that choice.
How do we get Desmond rest Bane to show up and do our show?
That's we really impressive. Did.
Speaking of handsome distractions, what this is
somehow.
We've been disrespected.
Spitty? Were we going Spitty with that?
Izzy, I think I know what the S stands for. Pablo has been a long-suffering Sixers fan. I think it stands for sucker. And I would, with that, very quickly, before Pablo gives you a deep dive and introspect about what's wrong with the Sixers, because I know he's ready to give a dissertation, Izzy, I would just like to know if you would like to, do you want to stick around? I'm going to offer an obit and
I'm going to go.
Okay, all right.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell Alabaster that I also noticed that the card did not say Heat win. It said Sixers lose. So I know you're in on that.
Well,
right?
You can.
I will dance
you're
on
the,
your grave.
You're the first seed, Izzy. Act like you've been there before.
He's got to go prepare. Got to prepare for the next round of playoffs.
He's got to go prepare to be That's swept by the Boston Celtics or Milwaukee Bucks.
Can hold
I,
on to that take. Start just there. Like you're holding on to all these
L's. No, Pablo, before you go into your dive, let me do this for you. Are you ready? Okay.
I can't believe we're not done with this prologue to me.
This is it. This is it. We're just going to properly put this to bed. Okay? You ready? Fox, can I get some church music or a soft hymnal in the background, please?
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a there we go. Mm-hmm. God, we thank you for the life that you give us.
Yes,
it is
Lord.
Full of work and of responsibility, of sorrow and
yes,
joy. And today, we thank you.
Thank you,
for
Jesus.
Pablo Sixers' infatuation,
oh,
for what it has given
yes,
us,
God.
So much content,
so
and what
much
it has
content.
Received, so much ridicule.
Oh,
help
ridicule.
Us in our mourning and
yes.
teach us to live
yes,
for the living
Lord.
In the time that
Tell
is still
him,
left
sister.
To us, unlike All Pablo's right. love affair, mm-hmm. which has passed. And I will close with Psalm 0-2 in the second half. Yea, though I walked through the valley of the shadow of doubt, largely people who saw this coming 7 years ago, I shall fear no layup.
Fear
for
no
thy
layup.
Rod and that staff, well, they discomfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the hottest
yes,
club in Cancun.
Won't he do it?
Thou anoints
yes,
my
he
head
will.
With a dunce cap. Mm-hmm. My championship cup
Praise
runneth
him.
Dry. Amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much.
Sister
Duncan.
L, thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you for blessing us.
We'll
with
have
what...
snacks in the back at the repast.
Oh,
thank you.
Pound cake?
Family
what,
only.
Pound cake?
What
was
wound
a pound
up
cake
being...
and some fruit punch? Oh, you're taking me back. I was a pound cake and fruit punch. It don't go together, but it feels like church to me. In a big
Are churches supposed to be as erotic as Dominique made it at the end? There is some real just sensuality under that beat, which I was personally...
Just because you sensed it,
you know,
doesn't
a little
mean that it was put there. You are, right. You're telling us you're yum and no one asked for it. You got a church thing going, huh? okay?
I see.
Well,
you.
this is a black church thing specifically.
It's the energy.
It is great energy. How can you not have a black church thing? All right, where do we start? There's lots of quotes. There's lots of sadness. Doc Rivers thinks he's not the problem. Joel Embiid is clearly subtweeting James Harden.
It's beautiful.
And there are
seems to be suggesting that Doc is the problem. Daryl Morey somewhere looking at a spreadsheet, confused by what happened. Where do you want to start, loser?
I want to start by not acknowledging how you tried to acknowledge me just then. I want to acknowledge also my Catholicism, which is the opposite of the black church you guys just invited me to. A Catholicism.
Oh, yeah, you guys that do get, you get like whack crackers, right?
Oh, no, no, no. How dare you? Transubstantiation, L? No, crackers. Not whack. Yeah, in fact, the cracker of Christ.
Oh, it's a whack cracker. It's a whack cracker.
It's like one of those crackers that you get when you put, like, when you do charcuteries. Yeah, you need cheese
and
pepperoni.
A little bit of red wine. Yeah. What I'm trying to say
is
that Catholicism,
the Catholic Church, like,
that I grew up in, of course there is. I'm a buffet Catholic. I leave all the bad parts to the side, take all the good parts, and pretend the bad parts don't exist. What I'm trying to establish here is that I am born in this, born in guilt and shame and suffering. I'm ready for everything that you guys are trying to throw at me because of my background.
And
I'm
throwing anything at you. I gave you a nice service.
You did.
You know what? Next time, I'm just going to burn you and put you in the county lot, Pablo.
Yeah. We gave you, we prayed for you. We gave you erotic sounds and hymnals. And we haven't even gotten to it. Do you want to talk about the game?
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Yes, let's talk about how the game is the greatest gift, as you guys alluded to our show, to sports media. And also, by the way, something that wasn't as bad as last year, which is why I am actually happy to walk through what happened here with you today.
No, it's worse than last year. It's worse than
last year. No, it's
not. It is worse
than
last year.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
is. Not worse than last year.
It's worse than last year.
How can it be worse than last year? All of my scar tissue, Dominique, has been built up. You can put like the meat hooks into my back and suspend me from the ceiling with that weird fetish that some people have.
It's a lot worse.
But it's not
worse.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah, you're one
alabaster.
Further in the future, you have less perspective, less flexibility, and less hope. Like last year,
you gave everything away for James Harden. You took less shots than Ben Simmons.
There was everything to give away. There was also the hope that Ben Simmons could improve. There is no hope that James Harden will get better. And then you gave that all away, including Seth Curry, who apparently Joel Embiid viewed him as his real number two. He gave that all away in order to get James Harden, who is now a playmaker. I'm sorry.
It's alabaster, my cracker of Christ. It is not as bad. Mixing religions there for people who actually know alabaster. Apologies, alabaster, on that level as well. It's not as bad because
Charlie a Christ cracker?
I can gas mask bong some copium right now, but I think alabaster does want us to actually explain what happened.
Yes.
Because was James Harden a worse Andre Miller last night? Well, absolutely.
This
not
is what's interesting.
In the second half at all. What is interesting to you?
How they got eliminated, obviously, with James Harden. But the larger question is, where do they go from here? And we should explain to our viewers what happened in this fascinating basketball game. Yeah.
Yes. So James Harden did not show up. I talked about how earlier this series with Dominique, it was like the portal scene in Endgame where James Harden walked through in game 3, I believe, and he shot all those threes and it was great. It turns out that was one of those dream sequences, and actually he's dead. So 22 minutes, 0 points, 3 turnovers. And that is part of where I actually feel pretty good about what happens next, because what we have is some clarity. We know what we need to do.
No,
we know what we need to do, Alabaster.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do.
Okay,
of
so
course
hold,
we
on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Explain to me what you need to do in a succinct fashion, please.
Okay. No Supermax extension for James Harden. We let him pick up the option that he's on right now. But Daryl Morey knows, the entire NBA knows, there is no world in which James Harden is entitled to that much money.
Okay.
That is something that would have been muddier
succinct.
Had this not
succinct
been so
obvious.
Succinct
is what I asked for. Okay, so you've described one thing that you should not do.
Yep.
You have not described what you need to do.
Second thing. Doc Rivers I am so excited to be your coworker.
Okay, again, another for you to be a great another
ESPN
not,
employee.
Another not
giving takes so just alongside.
Just
me.
Accept that you do not know what you need to do. You know two
those
things
two
that you don't need
huge
to do.
Those are
that's not
that
a solution.
We,
that's
oh
getting
no.
rid of
a
problems.
Firing is an active
that's not
choice,
a
and that is Doc's
to, this is
solution.
Like, this is like when an NFL team has a slightly above average quarterback, and then everyone around them is like, cut him, don't sign him. And then we're like, but what you going to get? So you have to replace that coach. You also need to replace,
sure.
I guess, Ben Simmons at this point, because you can't say you're replacing Miss Harden
Love you,
because
Ben.
Harden
Love
has
you.
Not given you anything. So what is there? The future is not as bright as you're trying to make it seem, and it's also not as clear.
But what we got to establish, Al, I want to be fair to reality as well as my own dignity.
This is not
right?
the day for
what
for
we're
your
what we're showing here.
Nonsensory. Answer the question. What is there
Giannis,
to do?
Giannis, settle down.
I can't.
Stop playing defense
is,
on your own teammate, Giannis.
This is why Giannis is moving on, because he's not messing around with all this dribbling that you're doing. Shoot your shot.
What
I love,
happened
what
here
I,
was a second round exit, okay?
What I love that Pablo is doing right now, and we all know this because we've all gone through the steps of grief, he's in the coping part where he's now told himself it was a good thing that they lost in this way
stupid.
So that now they don't have to decide. Now they don't have to decide whether they should pay James
Pablo,
Harden.
Pablo, have you ever seen,
they would love to be able to pay James Harden, Pablo. Like, that's the point, is they were so hopeful that they would love to be able to pay
him.
This
is no longer about
them.
This is about Pablo. Have you ever seen an intervention and you notice how the person who's been intervened on, like, sounds so stupid, and the excuses they're making are so flimsy, and their defense
right.
that they're making sounds so ridiculous, and then the promises they're making, no one believes them. If you don't know that, that's what you sound like right now. Like, at least we know what we're going to do, and you fired two people.
Because you need to get rid of those two people.
Pablo, they would love to be able to have paid James Harden because he played so well in the playoffs for you. Because
no,
if he played
course,
well in the playoffs for
course.
You, you'd be
that's,
moving on.
That's true. And by
this
the way,
team's very
no
flawed.
Part of me, it's very easy to go back in time and pretend like none of us wanted James Harden. We all did. Right? Yeah. Everybody did. We thought it
those
was a great idea.
Those first couple weeks, y'all were licking chops.
I was licking so much more than just chops. It was a lot.
That's fine.
I got some stuff I'm still dealing with still today,
that's fine.
But what we have now is a team that is not as bad as everybody wants to laugh about, because we're all prisoners in a very fun prison of the moment. I agree. Exit interviews happening. Joel Embiid being the messiest person on the planet, being way too honest about everything. All of that is true. All of that is so. I'm being buried underneath memes and insults by Dominique Foxworth about stupidity, which I will hold my actual grave. How dare you? I trust you.
You certainly are not stupid.
I'm a very normal person. Find a new slant. But Alabaster, what I'm trying to establish here is that what the Sixers have to do is obvious. What the Sixers are is not as bad as you think. What it is, however, is embarrassing. And on that part, I really can't argue. It's embarrassing.
I want to let Alabaster get in. I know we got videos we want to show. But again,
so many
it's
videos.
What they need to do is
stupid
not obvious.
Videos.
And I think you're wrong about moving on from James
what
Harden.
What they need to do is get Joel Embiid healthy, Dominique. Can I just mention that fact? Like, the fact that Joel Embiid tore his thumb, got concussed, broke his face, and has been playing through that. And no, he did not
Don't
play
forget
well
the
in
back
this
injury.
Game.
He did something to his back, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. His neck, his back, his thing, and also his crack.
Okay,
all of it
Kaya.
Messed
okay.
up. All of it messed up. So the idea that the Sixers were going to win the championship this year, of course they weren't because of that. So what they have now is at least Alabaster. Come with me on this journey. They have some clarity.
You know,
that's nice.
You know what they
that's
don't
nice after
have?
Trauma.
You know what they don't have? And it's clear to me that Embiid wants Jimmy Butler.
Hate how right that point is.
Yeah, do we have that clip? I think that was one of my favorite of the clips that we've
absolutely.
Seen
was call him out
where it was clear that Jimmy Butler said, I wish I was still here, right, in the post-game conversation, but I'm happy I'm in Miami. And Embiid also was like, I don't know why we lost them, like, It's just a mess there, and it's really uncomfortable and embarrassing, and it's not clear what you should do.
Because they both are on teams where they're the only one doing anything. Like, Jimmy's the only reason that the Heat are doing anything, and Joel's the only reason that his team's doing anything, and they're looking at each other like, but we were on the same damn team. Like, we could have helped each other out. Like, this isn't about Joel, Pablo. It's not about just getting Joel healthy. You know that.
It's about building a time machine to undo the thing that I agree was the worst decision. Giving away Jimmy Butler and pretending like you'd be fine. I agree. That's the original sin of this whole thing. Do we want to play this video, Alabaster? Because it's incredibly humiliating. Okay, great.
I won't sit here and say I wish I didn't wish he was my teammate. Still don't know how we let him go. But you know, I wish I could have gone to battle with him still. But it is what it is. You just gotta, keep building and, keep trying to reach that goal.
You mentioned the other day that you wanted to win this one so you can have something over Joel Embiid. You just spoke to him. What was that message to him?
That I love him. I'm proud of him. Yes. I still wish I was on his team. I definitely love the Miami Heat, though, man. I'm glad that I'm here, but I got so much respect and love for Joel Embiid.
That's pretty fun.
They could have
won a title together.
Can we also watch the video that Embiid used to shade your boy Daryl Morey?
Yes.
That was so, like,
okay, play
skillful.
That so I can deconstruct that with
nothing
Dominic
to deconstruct.
After, oh, there is.
Okay.
Since Daryl got here, I think he's done a fantastic job. Last year, coming in, obviously bringing Seth. Seth was a huge part of what we did. And this year, bringing in, Andre, which he helped us a lot. I think, since they got here, since Daryl has gotten here, he's done a, good job. As far as, team building, obviously that looks like he's still not good enough.
Come on, Pablo. How's this
you,
not
you
shade at Daryl
Morey? Okay, so it is some shade and some truth. Signing Seth Curry was an awesome move. Daryl Morey, brilliant. Love it. The Andre Drummond thing, I mean, we know what this is about. We know what it's about. Andre Drummond is not the solution to anyone's issues. What Joel Embiid is doing, of course, is he's doing the thing that Joel does. He's doing the thing where he is not trying to say the thing while saying the thing, and it's shade towards James Harden, Dominique. Yeah. It's not shade towards Daryl Morey, because Joel Embiid of 3 months ago was sounding like me 3 months ago, loving his life when James Harden arrived.
It's shade
towards
both of them.
What happens since is the question. And Al, look, the James Harden aspect of this, right? Again, 32 points, 32 shots.
That's in the second halves of the games.
In the second halves of these games. In the first half, he's actually fine. He's actually pretty good.
So,
in the second half, he's
hold
terrible.
On. I think we should connect some dots for the YouTube audience, because I don't care about the podcast audience. The point that you're making, that he's taking a shot, the point is he said Seth and Andre were good additions. Those were players that were traded for James Harden. So I think that you're trying to make the point that in that quote that Joel Embiid is intentionally not adding James Harden's name and only using the people part of the deal that got traded away to say that James Harden was not good. I don't understand
Correct.
How you can view that as a shot at James Harden, but not a,
shot, a
shot at the
Daryl
man
Morey.
Who made the trade.
Because like, everybody wanted to make this trade. We're doing this thing where we pretend like none of us can evaluate things as they happen and only get to do it in hindsight. At the time, that's a great move. The idea that we're casting that trade as a bad trade is only obvious now. None of us knew this. Am I mad at James Harden? Absolutely, on some weird level in which I care too much about this team for not revealing that he can't really jump at all or move or beat anyone off the dribble. Absolutely. But yes, when Daryl Morey does say that James Harden is his basketball Jesus, then of course I understand that, yeah, their fates are kind of aligned in the public perception.
I don't think that anybody is begrudging the trade, because the Ben Simmons thing was done. Like, I'm not even mad that I'm not even being petty and mad and saying like, oh, well, you traded away a 27-year-old all-star and like, or a 24-year-old three-time all-star and like, for what, a 34-year-old? I'm not mad about any of those things, because Ben Simmons was over in Philadelphia. He was never going to be able to step foot back on a court in Philadelphia ever ever again. What does that say? Vince, yeah, he follows you. I know.
Yeah. Oh, he follows me, but this is also his only mic is Skip Bayless.
I think that Fox is right. That's terrible. Like, what's he doing? Stop weighing it. Like, you need to stop. He also, Ben, listen, it's fun for us political or our sports pundits to jump in here and make fun of Philly, but you need to take several seats. Like, what are you talking about over here liking stuff when you won't get your ass on the court?
He learned it from you.
I mean, James Harden didn't try, but at least he suited it up. At least he suited up. Damn, shut up.
And then to choose Skip Bayless of all the tweets you're going to show.
I was right there. He's following me, too.
That's not the one you want to align yourself with. But anyway.
Not exactly. But I also feel like, didn't Embiid say something that was much more overtly shade at James Harden than the one that you're trying to read through, Charlie? Right. Don't we have that clip where he was like, straight up? Okay, let's play that, because that was overt shade.
I'm sure, you know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, you know, at times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive.
They're not wrong.
Is it bad? Is it bad when we're at the point where, like, people aren't even... We typically see people start really as they do self-examinations, right? And they start introspecting and they really do, like, deep dives and compartmentalize what's just happened to them. This was, like... 15 minutes after they lost, that they're just firing off these takes.
It's the same as last year.
It's like right away. It's like they've been holding on to this for so long. It's become a couch.
You have
a press conference.
The guy who's supposed to be helping Joel Embiid not shooting enough in the second half of a game, and then you have them taking shots at that guy after they've been put out of the playoffs.
And Doc Rivers being defensive.
And Doc Rivers. Like, it's the same as last year, so I'm not sure how you end up feeling better about this situation.
Because I lived it, Alabaster. I already lived this.
What's up?
So, I don't want to, you know, obviously it's fun to pile on Pablo, freezing cold takes, yada, yada. Here's the thing, he's a loser. But for the actual Sixers stuff, why this is not the same as last year is last year they had outs.
Yeah, worse than last year.
Ben Simmons was the out. James Harden was the savior. And what's fascinating now is Daryl Morey has always been able to find guys a la the Seth Currys, discount guys who fit a system, who can make threes and play efficient basketball for his team. What you have now is a 28-year-old win-now center in Embiid who has aligned himself with Philadelphia. It doesn't seem like someone who's going to demand a trade. But the clock is ticking on building this team around him. You are over the cap. You found gold with Maxey. Maybe he can take another step. Tobias Harris is someone who's a toxic contract. James Harden, if he opts in, is a toxic contract. You can't just trot out Korkmaz and Shake Milton and Paul
that's
Reed and Danny Green and expect to fix this thing. And that's why it's interesting, because you have
Danny
someone...
Green can't even play anymore. Like, I mean, it looked like
Danny
Green.
He got hurt. Yeah. Nobody cared about that fact. Remember, the starting lineup got hurt. Lost by 9.
But anyway.
Does this go is the interesting part, because this guy has to fix it. Morey has to fix it around Embiid.
But the urgency, which I feel, again, as someone who has suffered through this, I feel it. But the idea that a healthy Joel Embiid doesn't get them to the conference finals, the idea that a Tyrese Maxey, who is a year older and better and has been so much better than anybody thought, does not fit into that big three kind of framework, the idea that James Harden as a playmaker, right? If James Harden is now the third leg of a tripod and you give him a year to get healthy, I'm not saying that he's going to be anything close to Houston James Harden. I'm just saying that the idea of the Sixers making the conference finals next year, I could see that easily.
Forget Houston James Harden. You guys didn't even see Brooklyn James Harden last night. Like, that's not,
that is true.
I mean...
Easily is a stretch, because if he's going to be a playmaker, we could say that maybe the best case scenario is he turns into Chris Paul and he's bigger, so maybe he will be less of a defensive challenge. Best case scenario, Chris Paul. But for Chris Paul to succeed at this advanced age, the team that they have around him is really freaking good. And I'm not sure that they have the room or the resources to build a team around James Harden right now. You cannot be a playmaker on a team that needs points. And as good as Tyrese Maxey is, he ain't that dude. If you're saying that James Harden is the third leg of this tripod, leg number two is Maxey, and you think that's championship worthy? Nah, man, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying it's not as bad as you think. But I want to offer up a prayer here of my own very briefly here, because I think I do need to offer a prayer in the spirit of this service. So, dear James Harden, it's me, Pablo. You know, I know I've been making a lot of jokes about you loving strip clubs more than any human who's ever lived on the planet, or any planet with strip clubs anywhere, honestly. Can you come out and just say that you're never going to a strip club again?
What?
Can you just say it? Can you just say that? Can you please say, James Harden, I am praying to you say you are getting in the best shape of your life in a real way. You are never going to go to a strip club ever again. You are going to be back and prove everybody wrong by not going to a strip club. Mm. Amen.
Give it. Just please save us from this, Alabaster.
Can I?
You know where all the strip clubs would be? Uranus.
Can I pray for all of our audience members that you never do that bit again?
Yeah, it was a bad bit.
That was very real.
And then okay. The second part of my interjection, I have a question for you guys. Do you think James Harden is going to age more like Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook? Because that's the calculus that Philadelphia has to make.
I mean, if you have to pick between the two, I think it's Chris Paul. Like, he's always been a good passer, good playmaker, and he has the ability to shoot. He's never leaned on his athleticism the way that Westbrook did. So, I mean, I guess he would age more like Chris Paul, but then it requires some commitment to his defense. Health and wellness that I'm not sure people believe that he has. Neither is the right answer.
If you listen to my prayer, it answered your question.
No, it didn't. It did not answer the question.
It really did.
I still don't understand how you think that it's so clear what they have to do. So I think the best thing out of this situation is James Harden's not a bad basketball player, but he's not good enough to do what they need him to do. The best thing out of this is maybe they'll have the ability to negotiate a smaller deal. Like, they won't have to give him the max. And if there's nobody out there who's willing to give him the max, which I think is hard to believe, somebody might give it to him, then they could get James Harden and pay him what they need to pay him in order to have the flexibility to add some talent to this team years out. And then who's James Harden going to be a few years from now? So, like, they're in a really bad spot that's, to me, seems obviously much worse than they were last year. But and they don't know who the coach is going to be because
that's
he
a
clearly
good thing.
Doesn't have to be there.
That's a good thing. That's is the it? Other improvement they're going to make. Absolutely.
I mean, I think that it's an
who's
improvement.
Who's out there?
If
who are you going to go get?
It's an who improvement.
Go get? The
it's
same
an
usual suspects? Who? Yeah. Who do you want? Who do you want, Pablo? Who do you want? Who's
worse.
The guy? Who's going to come in here and he's going to make
worse.
Your dynamic duo of Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid pop?
I have never, Pablo? I have literally never been more confident in saying that I would take the field.
Oh, God.
The field. Give me the field.
Sad. All right. I don't know. The Heat were really good.
Charlie keeps trying to make us talk about the Heat. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a petty Atlanta fan, but this still this feels like a super flawed one seed. Like it's like all Jimmy Butler or bust. I still don't believe that they could beat the Bucks or the Celtics. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. They can't. I don't know.
They won't.
They play really good defense, right? That's something. I don't know. Yeah, I feel hesitant to like say anything with any confidence in this year's playoffs because every time I feel good about any particular take, I'm proven wrong, except for when I said that the 76ers aren't good enough. That's the only one I've been right about. But everything else is like, huh? I thought the Grizzlies were done. Nope.
No, and that's the thing too, Fox, is that it's been like not only just that they have stayed alive, but in the way that they stayed alive, because we also saw it with Dallas last night. It's like they just mollywopped the Suns. Yeah. A Suns team, by the way, who's really good in closeout games on the road in the Monty Williams era. They were 4-0 before that game. So it just was I suppose that there's not enough consistency to predict these things. And obviously predicting is not an exact science, but when we try to do our jobs and think of like who's got the edge and who, it's really hard to figure out because nobody, these series have been close per se, but not like great indicators of what's going to happen.
But also because the human body is an imperfect meat sack and it'll betray you when you need it the most.
There's a lot of injuries.
Do you consider the Suns a flawed one seed too? Because like the Heat have
struggled
a lot less than the Suns have.
So, by the way, Heat culture is so mad at us. I can only imagine how mad they would be if they listened to this. We can get to the Suns and like whether Chris Paul is also cooked, by the way, because he might be. But Alabaster, what do you want me
to
do?
I have one Heat question before we move on to the Suns, and that deserves our time as well. It's just that, is it fair for us to hold against them that their path has been that easy? They have been a one seed, and obviously they're in a traditional one seed based on point differential or star power, but you can only play who's in front of you, and sure, they've rolled.
Yeah, I don't think it's – I think you could say the same thing about the Suns. Like, there's no reason to believe that the Suns should have struggled the way that they did in either of these rounds, and the Suns aren't out of it yet. So, yeah, I think what we're doing to the Heat is probably a lot of the confirmation bias and also, like, the point differential. But we're treating them like they aren't a one seed, and they've been playing, like, the closest thing we have to a one seed. And I think we got a lot caught up on the Celtics because of how they've been playing and how they played last round. And Giannis has done it before, and we don't think of them as the favorites, but we should respect them the way that they've gone through these first two rounds.
Listen, please, Heat Nation, Heat fans, the Heatles, whatever, don't get it twisted. I'm going to have to travel for the NBA Finals, and when I tell you I want to come and see you in Miami, so I'm hoping that it is the Heat. It's just really hard to sort of feel like, yeah, this is a team. I can't name a team right now in my mind that I feel like is streaking towards the finals.
I feel bored just talking about them. Ugh.
Don't worry. I'm sure someone on the Bucks or the Celtics will also break their face. I'm sure that'll happen.
Okay, there you go. Pablo, don't wish that misery on other people just because you're in hell.
All right.
I am in hell.
Crabs in a barrel. You know, Pablo Crab in a barrel tour. Like, what? Stop.
You sound like my jeans right now, Elle.
Hold them down.
All right, let's go to the Western Conference. And my question for you is, after what you've seen from the Suns in this series, i.e. Chris Paul looking like a 37-year-old, are you still picking them in Game 7?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to just because you believe that their team is a better team, and it is a better team. Chris Paul, that part's worrisome, right? Like, that part is worrisome. They've won games when he's been that bad, but he is clearly not right. And it feels, to go back to the meat sackness of all of this, it feels like we're going to get a bunch of reports. And I'm waiting for the one about Harden. I'm waiting for the one about Chris Paul, where he's been dealing with something in the way that he did last playoffs, right? Remember, he got hurt against the Lakers, couldn't raise his arm to shoot, and then just, like, didn't tell anybody till it was, like, months later. It feels like some of that's happening, because I don't know how else he is looking so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, his badness is probably his play is probably the difference so far in some of these games. But I guess I expected there aren't very many people willing to party, as Jason Kidd said it before, and you get surprised by who is going to show up to the party and help out Luka. But
great,
I didn't expect
last night, man.
Yeah, I did not expect them to have anyone to be able to step up consistently. And I guess that's the surprising part, is like the Suns, I thought, would shut them down, or they would just struggle because they aren't that good. Like, it's clear the Suns are more talented and probably better coached, and still somehow they managed to lose. And it's not like Luka is just – I mean, Luka's great, but it doesn't feel like he's taken it to some new level.
I think the Luka impact here is being underrated. And yeah, here's Chris Paul, by the way, before we talk about that, because 13 points in Game 6, 7 in Game 5 – 5 in Game 4, 12 in Game 3, ever since he turned 37 years old, as you said. The Luka thing, so the party, right? And the party was bumping. Reggie Bullock, come on down. Yeah. Jalen Brunson, you're hanging out. You're leaving no room for the Holy Ghost, right? Spencer Dinwiddie had 15. Like, this was a comfortable blowout of the Phoenix Suns. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is because of what Luka does. I think it's because not only can he take anyone, literally anybody in the league one-on-one, we knew that. It's also his passing is unbelievable. He can make every single pass, and his court vision is unreal. And the reason why, yes, 39, 9, and 11 for Luka Doncic in this series, the reason why in elimination games, the reason why he can do that is because of that skill set.
Yep, he's skilled.
I think that, I'm just going to be totally real with you. These games come on really late, the West Coast one. So it's like, I see a lot of Cliff Notes versions of these. But I do know this much. I don't understand why we keep poking bears. It's like every single series, we just keep seeing teams do nonsensical shit like poke a bear.
Yeah.
You know, they did it to Ja. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Giannis did it to Al Horford. It's like, why are you doing this? Then the Warriors did it when they said they were going to do whoop that trick. Then they got whooped. And then Devin Booker did it when he made fun of Luka Doncic for always laying on the ground. And then Luka went off like, shut up. I thought we knew this, Fox. I thought this was a thing athletes knew. Shut up. When you've got the momentum on your side, be quiet and then do what I always do, lay low, and then be a completely tacky winner. That's what you're supposed to do.
I mean, I understand that's the safe way to go, but I'm a bear poking fan. Poke that bear, show that confidence, show that belief. Don't get embarrassed following the bear poking, but I do think there's something to be said for like legitimate urgency and like real scarcity. It's something you can't fake. And I think that's what we saw in the Golden State game. I don't know if that's what we saw in the Suns game. I think some of them just aren't playing well, or Chris Paul's just not playing well. And the real urgency on the Mavs side, like, I think that's a real thing. I just don't think everybody's that good this year. Like, is that fair to say? Maybe the Celtics and the Bucks.
Hurting.
The Celtics and the Bucks are playing each other, and they both seem like that last game didn't seem like anybody threw it away or was bad, but it feels like in every other series, the team who loses like kind of stinks. Just for
It feels like with 86 points the Suns had.
It feels like with the Bucks and Celtics that they like. We did this on Around the Horn yesterday, where it was like, did the Celtics lose or did the Bucks win? And I'm like, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, we've seen in that series a couple of mistakes greatly impact the game, or a couple of adjustments, like exactly what you would expect from playoff basketball. But that's what I'm saying. The rest of the games in the semis have just been like, I think, what is it, in the Suns-Mavs series, all the home teams have won, and it hasn't even been close. It's like a 7-point or more win. It just feels like we don't know anything about these teams because no one's playing touch. Like no one's playing down the stretch. It's just sort of blowouts from the beginning or one team giving up.
This is an incredible stat that Alabaster just laid down. There has not been a single minute of clutch basketball in this series, meaning, of course, when – within 5 points, five or fewer minutes left. That's
like,
amazing.
That's horrible. Yeah. What? Like,
it's
how
horrible.
Do you, how do you?
And it justifies L falling asleep, admittedly.
Yeah.
But it's remarkable how no series has resembled the device that has embodied the entire playoff, which is the pendulum. Right. One day I have one take. The next day it's stupid. And in the end, I think, L, to your point, like, I am so glad that everyone's just compensating for that with recklessness. Everybody's just like, nope, the way it's going to be forever is the way it is right now. Let me give you a take that will definitely get exposed later on.
Oh, yeah, within minutes.
Yeah, I think the tough part about this series is I don't know what the answer is for the Suns. It seems so obvious to me that they're better, that it doesn't seem like there is some like schematic decision to be made or some like improvement that you expect from a particular role player. Like it would seem to me that even Chris Paul not playing well should not be enough to bring down the Suns. They're that much better in my view, or at least more talented and more flexible and more like dynamic than the Mavs. But it seems obvious that they aren't. We're going to game seven. They're evenly matched. You have to respect the point of the series. Allie.
Well, so my question is like, are we sure there aren't schematic things that should be changed? Like, we viewed the Suns as a way better team, and they attacked Luka Doncic relentlessly in game two when he gave up 86 points as the primary defender. And that has sort of gone away. He has not been exposed or put in mismatches. And part of that, which I think we should focus more on, is the fact that Chris Paul doesn't seem like he can do that now. Midway through the third quarter last night, he had taken four shots. He wasn't that different than James Harden. He had Maxi Kleba in switches and was hiding on the perimeter and not wanting to shoot. Like, are we sure the Suns are the better team? And has your perception of them changed because of how they've played?
I think the depth of the Suns, I mean, they still have Devin Booker, they still have DeAndre Ayton, they still have all of these switchable wings. Chris Paul, though, I mean, what we're getting is the version of him that clearly is not right. I mean, close out Chris Paul to Alabaster, to your point, that's a thing. We've seen that. You're right. He should feast. He should go to the elbow. He should do the thing that's been unstoppable from mid-range. We've seen him do that. We saw him do it last year. Why isn't he doing it now? I think that is a very valid question. But top to bottom, right? Like, if Luka Doncic wins this series, like, this is a legend that is being written to me. Yeah. It's a legend, because take him off that team and look at the roster, and it is ridiculous what he's doing.
Yeah, it's. I think he's already had some of these legendary moments in the playoffs. This would be the biggest one yet, but I get your point about attacking him on the defensive end of the court. But I guess my point is, they should not be that close that should matter. Like, the talent-wise is – the talent disparity in the team that James Jones put together is so much better, in my view. And with the coach of the year and Monty Williams, like, I don't think it should come down to – though, like, it should be blowouts in their favor. And I know that the Mavs have had the second most wins since midway point or the season or some foolishness compared to the Suns. Like, I don't know that matters nearly as much to me since January 1st. That matters as much to me when you get to the playoffs as you need to have a flexible team and you need to have a talented team and you need to have a closer. They have all of those things. And it seems to me that the Mavs have a closer, but their team is not nearly as flexible or talented, or maybe I just don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, and I just bought into all this season-long Suns hype. And
I think I'm with Fox. Like, I just feel like if the question is like, oh, are the Suns flawed? Like, can they win the championship? I don't know, right? I think they're flawed enough that maybe that's – but in terms of this series, I mean, we're talking about one more game, guys. One more game at home after you just got embarrassed, and a team that was in the finals last year – has the better coach. I'm sorry, Jason Kidd's just not there yet. And also, they are playing for something. Like, I'm not saying that the Mavs aren't playing for something, but we all know that, like, Chris Paul is really a galvanizing force for anyone that he plays for. People really want to play for him. I think that in this particular situation, I'm still going with the Suns. I don't feel any kind of way about not picking them. I think this is a win. I'm not sure that it's, you know, a slam dunk. I wouldn't put my mortgage on it, but I just feel like this is setting up for the Suns to, like, win at home in a big environment and have this big moment.
I believe the Suns will win. I am rooting for the Mavericks. I think if the Suns lose, though, we do have to do the thing of like, wow, I really spent all that time watching the regular season, huh? I spent all of that
time. You did. You stayed up and watched those West Coast games. See, there you go. Foolishness.
I got some dry contact lenses that I've woken up with that I regret.
Why are you rooting for the Mavs? Like, I would.
Yeah, who roots for the Mavs?
Like, what is going on here? Is this your genes talking? Like, why are you rooting for the Mavs?
Oh, it is.
The Mavs, because they're an insane underdog team. I love that.
I would say the Grizzlies. All right.
Are you rooting for the Grizzlies over the Golden State?
They don't have John Morant.
They're so underdog.
That's a huge underdog. They're the biggest of underdogs.
I mean, they were underdogs.
They're Clifford, the big red dog size of underdogs.
Is Clifford an underdog? I feel like he's an overdog.
He's an overdog.
I think he's an underdog, though. Think about how hard it is to make friends when you're that big. You can't even go in anyone's house.
That's true. That's fair.
You know, socially, you've got nowhere to go. It's got to be horrible. You're intimidating. People don't come near you. You think Andre the Giant got invited to all the kids' birthday parties? He probably didn't, you know?
It would look like a 40-year-old man.
These are things I think about.
Poor Clifford.
They're worthy thoughts. You go to, like, crazy stores to get jeans that fit.
Yeah, big and tall. But for boys, do they have that? Do they have husky?
Yeah, of course they do.
Husky and, yeah?
I mean, I wouldn't know anything about it, but I'm sure it's a thing. I just don't understand how you can not be rooting for the Suns in this. Like, to me, it's a better team.
Who roots for the Mavs?
It's the Chris Paul effect. The Monty Williams story is outstanding. Like, it seems to be
I want to watch Luka Doncic become an immortal. That's what I want to watch. That's the story that's most interesting to me in this series at this point, with Chris Paul looking like he's looking.
I feel you, but I want a painful loss for Luka so he goes and focuses on getting in shape and playing defense at a credible level.
Dominique, he's playing himself into shape. If he makes the NBA Finals, he might actually get in shape.
He's going to be at peak form by then.
Exactly. Hey, man, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm praying for.
I do have to say,
but I'm praying for it.
I like the Luka faces. That, I mean, there's nothing better than after Luka makes a good play and he gives. I like the ill face that he gives often. It's a lot of that off of after a step back.
Some stank face. He has a good stank face.
I appreciate that in the words of Pusha T.
I was gonna say, because you were giving Big Jack Harlow when you did that.
Speaking of a guy who likes white stuff, Alabaster.
Okay. Moving on. One more question.
Pablo's in rare form today.
That's right.
It really is.
It's the six.
Which team do you think is a better chance of closing their series tonight? The Warriors or Bucks?
Warriors!
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going with L. I'm going with a yawning L Duncan who will in no way watch
my baby got
the
up
Warriors
at 5 a.m., y'all. He got up at 5. I'm just I'm struggling.
That ain't I feel you, L.
I know. It's tough to watch. What time will the Warriors be on? No, it's Friday. I can make it. I can make it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think the right answer is the Warriors, but they look really terrible in their last outing.
I have no concerns.
The Bucks, no. We will get a game 7 of Bucks Celtics because that is what, I mean, that is the reward that anybody who's invested this much time in the NBA playoffs, that's what we need. That series is too good to end tonight, right? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I picked the Celtics to win and I felt really confident about it the last game. I felt really confident about it until Giannis and Drew Holiday hit some sort of switch towards the end of the game. And if they have the ability to do that again, maybe, but I think that's unlikely. I guess it's the mental fortitude of the Celtics if they can bounce back and play. Because they are better to me at this point. They're better than the Middleton-less Bucks. But for whatever reason, two not great shooters hit great shots.
For whatever reason, that person's name is Giannis.
Well,
that
Giannis and Drew Holiday. Like Drew Holiday
came
at
big.
Three.
Holiday season.
Man, I hate it. So confusing. Him hurting jerky and at the basket. And
he
somehow
is very, again, popping, locking.
My favorite is that he was triggered.
Off of the rebounds all the time.
My favorite is that he was triggered. Drew Holiday was triggered by like Marcus Smart winning Defensive Player of the Year. Like, who's triggered by that? You know, it's like, I'm a Defensive Player of the Year too, damn it. Like,
No. I like the idea that it didn't matter all game until the last two plays.
Until the end. He's
that
like, you know what?
That
now it's
reminded.
Pissing me off.
Now it's like, you know what?
You know what? You did win, didn't you? Yes. You think it's like in Showtime when, of course, it was all fake, right? When old boy looked at Magic and was like 60, Pat Riley was like 67-3 or whatever it was. That's how many people voted for Larry Bird instead of you. And he was like, do we? Like the look on his, he was like, activated mode.
So Pablo, when you watch Winning Time, you're rooting against Magic and like for Larry.
Oh, for sure he's rooting for Larry.
You are really happy that Larry won the Rookie of the Year.
He was. And probably would have been one of those votes.
That they lost to the Sixers and didn't make it to the finals.
Wow.
You thought that they should rewrite all of history and change it all.
Okay, just for the record, I'm not wearing my jeans right now, and I don't like the implication of your tone.
I mean, there's no implication. I was just asking. I watch it, and the storytelling works on me, and that I'm rooting for Magic to become something. I was wondering if it backfired on you. That's all.
I mean, as someone who once literally jumped, Elle was talking about couches before, I literally jumped on a couch to dap up Magic Johnson. So I don't like the implication. I don't respect the man and the greatest. I mean, honestly, just his hugs are amazing. Alabaster.
We got 2 minutes. Can we talk about the Warriors a little bit and how they lost by 55 to the Grizzlies?
You know what? But Charlie, that's one of those that you throw out. I'm not even an athlete, but Fox, there's got to be games you played in where they looked at you afterwards and like, burn the fucking tape. Sorry.
No. That was
also burn that tape.
I would be more concerned if they lost by 5 than 55, right? If they had withstood a big punch in the mouth and gone back and forth and had been a close game. But, like, when you see Steph and Draymond dancing to whoop that trick, do you have real concerns that they're not going to win game 7? That told me everything I needed to know. Like, I feel like this was the rally. You guys, right before someone dies, all of a sudden they get all this energy and they're not sick anymore and they're whatever. And that was the Memphis Grizzlies rally. That was their rally, and now they're about to die.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, they outplayed them in both of the last two games, I feel like. I think they fell apart.
And the Warriors still won.
Yeah, but I guess my point is, if you only had those two games to draw on and not the history of these teams in past seasons, if you were just, like, never seen basketball before, don't know any of these names, you watch those two games, and you think that the Grizzlies are a lot better than the Warriors. So I guess it's a stupid way to look at it, but I'm not sure that they aren't better than the Warriors. Like the Warriors' defense was always like a cornerstone to all the success that they had. We don't talk about it much because it's a lot more fun to see three-pointers rain from midcourt. But their defense.
He's not playing defense. Yeah, he's not playing.
Their defense is missing some important parts, and I think that's the biggest question. If you're not going to, and the Grizzlies defense is better without Ja Morant. So if you're not
going to
be,
did you hear me say I'm going to the finals, Fox? I don't want to go to Memphis. Shut up.
I'm sorry.
Be quiet.
Can I tell you why I'm rooting for the Warriors in this one though? It's because I am not ready for everybody who's in my age group. I'm not ready for everyone to just get old at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is washed now. Steph is washed. Clay is washed. Draymond's washed. James Harden is washed. Chris Paul is washed. I'm not ready for that.
LeBron's not even in the playoffs. Washed King.
LeBron's obviously washed King. Yeah. Well, it's our demo.
Get ready
Why
for it.
Why do we have a school alarm bell? That's weird. Why couldn't it be like a meh, meh, or some soft music or something? Mm-mm. Like a song.
Pablo only responds to the school bell. That's it. That's why we have
it's
to
like
have
Pavlov's
it.
Dog.
It provokes scenarios that I'd buried. Kind of like what happened last year.
Are you going to go back and lay down and pretend to be dead for a little while longer? Or you could.
Yeah. Yeah,
and skirt all responsibilities as parent. That's what I would do.
I'm texting you at 10:30 tonight, Mel, because I don't think you're going to make it. Based on your yelling.
Like I said, the baby woke up at 5. Okay.
Yeah, I feel so, you. Nothing wrong with that. Sneaking a nap.
Yeah. You know?
Pablo.
A lot of coffee.
It's intervention.